I've had the privilege this last couple of days, and we've been looking at the life of Joseph, and we've been seeing how through much suffering and trials that God meant for good what happened to him, and that God had a specific plan, a specific purpose for a specific time for Joseph. And it's the same with us, and we can apply this in our own lives, because we all go through such difficulties at times and trials, and at times we think, when is this going to end, Lord? And I'm sure that Joseph at times was low and down, and we don't see that in the account, but he must have been. When is this going to end? What is the purpose? What's going on? And that's what it's like in my life when I'm going through very difficult times, and I'm sure the same is for you. And as Christians, we're either going into, we're in the middle of, or we're coming out of a difficult situation, a time of suffering, or a trial. And God did such a great work in Joseph's life at those times, as we saw when Jonah said, and he came out and he was a mature man and he was full of compassion, and he was a completely different person when he began to rule in Egypt than he was as a 17-year-old boy in his daddy's house with his beautiful coat. And it's the same for us. Through these difficult situations, God does a deep work in our lives for the greater good. And I just want to make a few points about suffering. Suffering comes in different forms. Now, I know you didn't do Bible drill, and I heard someone go, ooh, so we're going to do one kind of now. Can somebody open their Bible and please read out for me 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 to 10. Do it loudly so everyone can hear you. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 to 10. This is Paul speaking. Yeah. We've got loads, so...
about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us, but life in you.
Just 10, not to 10.
Okay,
it's all right. So Paul says we're afflicted in every way. We are crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair. So suffering comes in many different forms, mentally, physically at times, emotionally and spiritually. But Paul says we are not driven to despair. And it's encouraging that we can go to God's word and see a man that understands what suffering is. Now, how do we respond to suffering in our community? Most of you are at the same church. How do you respond to someone suffering in your community? Can you go to Galatians verse 6, chapter 6, verse 2, please? Galatians 6, verse 2. We are to bear one another's burdens. When you see your brethren, when you see your sisters suffering, when you see them going through pain and times of trial, suffering is a really isolating experience. It's a very isolating experience, and we're so blessed because God has given us a body and he's given us one another to bear each other's burdens. We need to support one another. We need to help one another. We need to reach out to one another. Church is meant to be a refuge for those that are suffering, a place where we can come and find help, ultimately that is from Christ in our time of need. But the Lord will use us to help one another through those times, to come alongside one another. When you are suffering, when you're going through those times of trials, Satan will try to isolate you. And he will be the biggest voice. He will bring discouragement and he will tell you, oh, you're rubbish anyway. Look at your life. Why are you a Christian anyway? Why don't you just do this? Why don't you just do that? And that is, you kind of hear that voice the whole time. And he's got you in a place where you're vulnerable. But when you are around the brethren and when you have the word of God running in your life, you will hear that louder voice. And a sister will come alongside a sister and say, no, sis, let me show you where the word, let me encourage you. Let me tell you that the devil is a liar and that God is with you. And what Satan meant for evil, the Lord meant for good, and he will turn for good.
Amen.
Suffering equips us for a purpose. We saw in the life of Joseph that whole period that God was equipping Joseph for a purpose, for a specific purpose at a specific time. When we go through times of suffering, it is for a purpose. Can somebody turn to 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 to 5, please?
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ.
Through our suffering and our affliction, God uses us to be able to comfort others who are suffering. I remember, I'm going to read a statement to you. I remember when I first went to Calvary Chapel, Westminster, I was had been in a church where we were encouraged to lean upon the pastor and the pastor's wife for to kind of be our Christ, like, oh. And I went up to the pastor's wife and I just had a miscarriage and it was really painful. And I'd been barren previously and it was a really difficult time for me. And I went to see her and I said, oh, no, and she said to me, you know what, Helen, I'm not your saviour, but I'm your sister in Christ. And she turned to this scripture and she said, God is the God of all comfort. And you're going through this thing so that God can comfort you. But also in this thing, God is going to give you compassion so that you might comfort others. David Paulinson from Suffering and the Sovereignty of God says, when you've passed through your own fiery trials and found God to be true to what he says, you will have real help to offer. You have first-hand experience of both his sustaining grace and his purposeful design. He has kept you through pain. He has reshaped you more into his image. What you are experiencing from God, you can give away in increasing measure to others. You are learning both the tenderness and the clarity necessary to help sanctify another person's deepest distress. When Joseph came out of that prison, he was not the same man. And he could identify with others' distresses. When you go through a difficult time and you come out that other end, the Lord's going to use you in someone else's life because you will be able to identify with that person's distress. Suffering is a battleground. Where there is suffering, there will be a battle. There will be a battle for your soul. It is during those times that Satan will come with something and he'll throw it off in front of you and he'll say, try this, try that. I experienced it myself in my own life when my dad died. Been in the faith a long time, 20 years, and I would not go to God for comfort. but I went to alcohol for comfort. Satan throws it down in front of you and he says, why don't you just have a little drink? That'll help you sleep. That'll numb your pain. And I was like, yeah, that sounds really good. And I turned my back and I went this way. When you're going through suffering, when you are going through trials and tribulation, Satan will come with something. Potiphar's wife was a distraction and a temptation from the enemy. Now, Joseph could have said, yeah, look at this woman, look how beautiful she is. Let me just go sleep with her. That's my little thing there on the side. But he was like, no, I cannot sin against my God. When you go through suffering, it is a battleground. You need to put on the full armor of God and take God at his word, because Satan will come and try and destroy you and distract you from the truth. Through suffering, it prepares us for a greater glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 to 18. We're nearly finished now. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 to 18.
For the momentary affliction, affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
Amen. And actually in verse 16 it says, so we do not lose heart, for our outer self is wasting away. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. And as we look at the things, not at the things that we see, but the things that are unseen, we see that the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. When you're going through your suffering, it's for a greater glory. It's for an eternal purpose. It's for the glory of the Lord. And we have to keep that in mind. You know what? We're gonna die, we're wasting away, we get older, everything starts going in the downwards direction, we start getting wrinkles, we go through the menopause and everything starts dying on us, and we look in the mirror and we think, where did I go? And inside we still feel like we're 10 years old at times, don't we? And we're like, but my body's not really reflecting that, because our body's dying. We're here for a moment, but with Christ, we're with him for an eternity, for a greater purpose and a greater glory. And when we look back, we look back on that suffering and we think, wow, that was like a moment. And we need to have that perspective when we're going through that suffering. We naturally try to avoid suffering at all costs, but God uses it in our life for the sake of our eternal joy. If you can turn to Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 to 10. Verse 10, darling.
I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Mm-hmm.
That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and share in the sufferings, becoming like him to his death. Now, I'm not saying we're going to suffer like Christ unto death. But you think about people like Pastor Saeed and the woman that's in prison that were going to die for their faith. But our sufferings make us more like him. We become partakers of his suffering. But ultimately, it's Jesus who suffered the most. If you turn to Isaiah 53, and if you can read it, verse 4 to 6, please. Isaiah 53, verses 4 to 6. 4 to 6.
Surely, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet, we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Jesus experienced the ultimate sufferings and afflictions on the cross. He is touched by our afflictions. Every tear we cry, he keeps. He does not know what you're going through, because he took it with him all to the cross. When he hung there, every pain, every affliction, every moment of loneliness, every moment of torment, every pain that you go through mentally, physically, spiritually, Jesus knows, because he took that on the cross. And I thank God for that, because I'm human and I can't do this thing on my own. But Jesus was perfect and suffered all of our sinfulness, all of our pain on the cross at Calvary. And we need to keep trusting him, and we need to keep holding on to him, just like Joseph in that prison. He kept holding on to God. In Hebrews it says, keeping your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. It gives a metaphor of being in a race. When you're in a race, when you do the London Marathon, I don't know if you've ever seen it on telly, they all start off together and they're all like this, and then you're going to get someone on the side, and then they have to wrap some in some of the foil, and some need a drink, and some are up front, and then some are behind, and then some are running, and they've got people running with them to keep them running. When you're in a race, you're not always going to be at the front of the race. Sometimes you're going to be the back of the race. Sometimes you're going to be on the floor, and you're going to need someone to pick you up. But we all have the same purpose and the same goal, and we need to look to the Saviour, the author and the finisher of our faith, who knows exactly what you go through and is touched by what you go through. He has a plan for our lives. He has a purpose for our lives, and he has a destiny to fulfil in every single one of our lives. If you turn to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, it's one of my favourite scriptures. Verse 11. Nearly done now. Sorry, Lord.
But I know the plans I have for you, said the Lord. They are plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope.
Romans 8:28.
We know that God causes all things to work together for good, for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose.
Ladies, God means it for good in our lives. We are his daughters. We are his children. He has a plan for us, and he is going to work all things for good in our lives according to his purposes, if we will just trust him. We have communion elements here, and what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to come and get them and just come and sit at your table, and I'm going to read something, and then we're going to meditate a bit before we take it, and then